Thank you for that message and song this morning. I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come and preach God's word to you. I love coming to First Baptist Church Livingston, and thank you for the trust that you've extended to me ever since that I've been your associational missions coordinator, director of missions. And so I appreciate it so much. Thank you for supporting the cooperative program. Thank you for supporting over 3,500 missionaries around the world and that ministry. And if you have a blue tarp on your roof that came from the North American Mission Board, it was your Annie Armstrong offering, your cooperative program dollars that brought that to you. And also, as well as the Georgia Barnett offering that we take in the fall. So thank you for what you do for furthering the cause of Christ through missions as well. I'm going to ask you to open in your Bible, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hey, are you ready for Turkey Day? I live for the holidays. Looks like I've already been having one, huh? I love the holidays. It's time for family. It's time for fun. We had our annual football game, and I'll never forget my brother, who was an all-district football player. My other brother, who was a three-year letterman at the high school where he attended, the year that I became 14 years old and could outrun him. That was exciting. My dad and I beat them for the very first time that year, and we didn't have any football games anymore after that. I don't know why. But I love the holidays. I'll have you the turkey prayer next week, okay? I'll bring the turkey prayer with you, and we'll pray the turkey prayer next week. But today, as we look forward to Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, I want us to think about, when we read the scripture, you're going to think, this is not a Thanksgiving passage of scripture. But then again, yes it is. Yes it is. So I want you to look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse 6, and I will read through verse 15. Let's stand in the honor of reading God's word. I'm going to read out loud and ask you to follow in God's word. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, and I'll remind you why it has super giant jumbo print I can read, okay? And so I'm going to read. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give you a land with large and beautiful cities that you did not build, houses full of every good thing that you did not fill them with, cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, worship him, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the Lord your God will become angry with you and obliterate you from the face of the earth. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that you would honor the reading of your word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and that you would open our ears and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and that you would give us courage to act and respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as Thanksgiving is coming up, now you can tell, I said, man, he's going fast. I speak 150 words a minute with gusts up to 175. So I want you to buckle your pew belt, because I got a lot to say in a short time to say it in, because I believe God is trying to speak to the church today. He's trying to speak to us, and so we need to hear the word of God. Thanksgiving is a time to remember the blessings. Count your blessings. See what God has done. It is a time to reflect, to think about what God has done for us and who God is. It's a time to celebrate. It's a time to worship. And it's also a time to give alms. Now, remember, the source of the blessings that we have come from the hand of God. Our country today is what it is today because of God's hand being up on us. Wow. He is creator, sustainer. He is our provider, and he is the goal of the universe. All we are, all we have, is because of the hand of Almighty God upon our lives. And where would we be without the Lord in our lives? Now, remember, what do you remember? You remember the Lord. I remember a godly heritage of a mother and father who taught Sunday school. I've told you this before. I had a drug problem as a kid. I was drugged to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was drugged to church all the time. It didn't do me any harm either. I think it did me some good. Amen. And so I remember the godly parents that I have that taught me to walk in the ways and to know the ways of the Lord. My mother-in-law is here today, and I'm going to tell you, I married up. I have the best in-laws in the world. I have good folks. I have a good family. Thank you for raising such a lovely daughter, Mom. I appreciate that. And I'm going to tell you, God's given me a wife. I married way over my head, gave me a godly woman that we have made the journey in life together. Wow, praise God for that. Do you remember your children, your grandchildren? Grandchildren is God's reward for not killing your children. So while you're raising your own children, just remember, if you persevere to the end, you shall be saved. So here it is. Grandkids will come along somewhere. I'm grateful for a home. And I didn't lose the roof when those hard winds came. I'm thankful for that. Well, I lost my roof. Well, be thankful that we live in a land to where we can start over again. Amen? We live in a good land. And so we need to remember these things. And don't worry about the things that you don't have. Don't fret. Don't regret. Do not become bitter over what you do not have. So remember. Also, reflect. Think about it. We have so much to be thankful for. We live in a free country, in a free land. Let me tell you what freedom is. Let me tell you what it's not. We're not free to live any way we want to live. But we are free to live as we ought to live, to become, to reach our fullest potential in who and what we are in Christ. We have that ability to do that in our land today. And when I think about our country, it blows my mind. Now, we got our problems, don't we? Amen? But let me share something with you. Why do you think everybody's coming from all over the other parts of the world and coming to the United States trying to get in here by nook, crook, and cranny? Why are they coming? Because we are still the greatest land on the face of God's green earth, and they're coming for the freedom that we offer so they can be free to reach their full potential as well. The United States of America, let me just say one word about it. Wow. I'll say it backwards. Wow. So we need to remember. We need to reflect. We need to celebrate God's blessings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. There we go. We got it all. We need to celebrate. We need to worship. We need to worship. We need to praise God for what he has done. Thank y'all. Y'all stirred up an old memory. It's the first praise and worship song I ever learned. And Miss Humphreys taught me that in the primary Sunday school class. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Hey, we need to worship God and surrender ourselves to God. And that's what we do when we worship. We're acknowledging you're God and we're not. We're acknowledging we need you in our lives. We need to worship God. And then we give alms. Now, where's that? That wasn't in the scripture. It is in Deuteronomy. You give alms because it was an act of piety in Jewish life. In the book of Deuteronomy, it teaches that every other year, that one-tenth, we talk about a tithe to the church, every other year, a tithe was taken up and set aside to take care of those who were less fortunate. And so this is a time of the year and Thanksgiving through Christmas when we stop and recognize God's blessings and share a portion of those blessings with those who are lacking. Now, as we look in our passage of scripture, have you figured out where we're going and what the big idea of this sermon is? If you don't get anything else, get this one thing out of this sermon. Do not forget God. Now, that's what the scripture says. If I were doing it homiletically correct, it would go, we must not forget God. But I want to be more directive because Moses was direct. Do not forget your Lord. We are what we are today. We have what we have today. It's all because of who God is and what he's done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that's where we are today. This is a warning. This is an admonition. Be careful not to forget the Lord. This warning came because Israel was and would be surrounded by a pagan society. It requires a high level of vigilance when you live in a pagan society because it is easy for the pagan society to drag down a godly person, much easier than it is for godly people to raise up a pagan society. And so what is it that we need to do? Over time, we'll be dragged down unless we maintain our focus and keep our eyes on God and make the worship of God the priority in our lives. We need to make the worship of God the priority in our lives, whether it be in our prayer closet or on Sunday morning at 10:45. Amen. It needs to be our priority. I know, Brother Jim, I'm preaching to the choir. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here. You see somebody that's not here today, later on today, think, man, you should have been there today. And what are you doing? You're encouraging them to get things right and get back in church. Amen? And so here it is. We're living in a day to where we are surrounded by a pagan society. Believers are opposed. We're ridiculed. And we have seen as a threat to society today. But in all of this, do not forget the Lord. Now that's the first admonition. There are four other admonitions I want us to look at. The first one is this. If you look in your scripture, be careful not to forget the Lord. In verse 13, fear the Lord your God. Now what does it mean to fear God? It's not a horror movie fear. It's a reverential awe of God because of who he is. A sinner standing in the presence of a holy and righteous God. It's a fear and a respect It's the respect before God. It's a matter of the heart. And I want to look, it says, fear only God. Fear the Lord your God. Now, if we're fearing God only, what does that mean? It means that we have an exclusive relationship with God. It's pretty much like a husband and a wife. When you say I do, what are you saying? All bets are off for other women, for the guys, and other men, for the gals. And I say that for both of them, huh? In our pagan society today, in which we are a minority. But here it is. I want you to hear that. It's exclusivity. There's no room for anyone else. There's no room for other gods. Remember, this is the second reading of the law to the young generation, to the next generation that was going to go into the promised land and take the promised land. And as they're reading this to the next generation, he's reminding the next generation, thou shalt have no other gods before you. There's no room for substitutes. There's no room for anyone else alongside God. It's God and God alone that we are to worship. Fear the Lord only. Let me ask you a question. Do you fear God with a holy and awesome reverential fear of God? Do you respect him enough to where you do not want to do anything to embarrass him or hurt his name and reputation? Fear only the Lord your God. Worship him is the next admonition. We've already talked about worship. Worship is a liturgical word referring through going through the deliberate motion of worshiping God, making it important, making worship the priority. You know, we have this society today that says, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God in my own home. I can watch it on TV. I can watch it on Facebook. I can watch Brother David out in San Diego or Brother Charlie over in Atlanta. And I can watch all these guys, and I can do it right here at home. There's also those that will say, I can sit on a deer stand and I can worship God out there. Every time I've been on a deer stand, worshiping God was the last thing that was on my mind. I was going, now is that a spike? Is that a 4-point? Or is that a doe? That was always on my mind out on a deer stand. But here it is. We must worship God. Set aside time to worship God. That's why we meet on the Lord's Day, to come together corporately with other believers that we might worship the Lord together. We are to worship the Lord. We are to swear by his name. Take your oaths in his name. Now, I know we go over to the Sermon on the, over to the Sermon on the Mount. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do not take oaths. We hear that. What Jesus was saying over in the New Testament was this: do not make any oaths that you're not going to keep. And so what's being said here when we talk about make your oaths to the Lord, when you give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know what you're doing? Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Be the Lord of my life. Do you know what you're doing? You're making an oath that God, I belong to you and you belong to me. You're making an oath. Have you ever repented? You've had sin in your life and you repented. Lord Jesus, I'm repenting of my sin. I'm turning away from my sin and I'm turning to you. What are you doing? You're making a vow to God. I'm going to be a changed person and a different person. When we come face to face with God, we will never be the same person again, because he will transform and change who and what we are to be molded into his image. Swear by his name. It's a commitment of faith to Christ. Now, let me swear by his name. We're not talking about taking an oath in a judicial setting, But we're talking about commitments to God that come as a result of worship. If you say that you're going to live for the Lord, live for the Lord. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Live for the Lord. Let there be nothing else to sneak in and to corrupt what you're going to do for the Lord. And do not follow. Let me get back up here. Verse 14. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. Now, there are other things that are out there that are competing for our loyalty, aren't there? There are other gods. Some of those gods are anything that stand between us and God. And it could be something as easy. It could be your family. It could be your job. It could be your possessions. It could be your leisure activity. It could be a sports team. It could be a television program. If you want to know where your God is, see where your time and where your money is spent. That will show you where your loyalties and where your priorities are. You see, we read this next in verse 15. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. We have a hard time understanding that because we look in the New Testament and we see that one of the qualities of a godless life is jealousy. Well, that's talking about bitter envy, being jealous so you can tear down and destroy someone. This type of jealousy here is different. God's not jealous of us. We're nothing to be jealous of, if, you know, from God's point. But he's jealous for us. I want you to know I'm jealous for my wife. And she's jealous for me. And what that's saying is this: I'm jealous for you because I don't want anything to come between us and our relationship. No substitute, nothing else to slip in and become more important. Guys, you ever had a woman come up and start hitting on you? Let me tell you what happens when it happens to me. First of all, I don't see it coming.
What's she saying that for?
And here comes my wife up, grabs my arm and smiles and goes, "Hey, I'm Richard's wife. How you doing? Honey, are you ready to go?" Yeah, I know what's going on then. Our wives have radar. They can figure it out. So here it is. What we're saying here, he's jealous for us. He doesn't want us to have anything coming in our life that comes between us and him. No other gods before him. Wow. That's something significant. He's not jealous of us, but for us. But look at the consequences. Look at the consequences. Otherwise, the Lord your God will become angry with you and obliterate you from the face of the earth. Yeah, preacher, that's a Thanksgiving sermons passage right there, isn't it, huh? See, we need to not forget God. That's what Thanksgiving is about, to remember all the goodness that we have as comes to us, all because of who God is and what he's done for us. But here it is, the opposite side of this, if we refuse to be loyal and devoted to God. And the Old Testament teaches us the ways of God. If you want to know what God is going to do today, see what he's done in the past. Amen? And so we're seeing what God said that he was going to do, and he did this to Israel. God will wipe a disobedient nation off the face of the earth. And that may not happen catastrophically, but it may happen systematically. It did with Judah. It did with Israel, the northern 10 tribes of Israel. It happened with them. Hey, it's happening in the United States of America. Systematically, we're taking steps farther and farther away from God. Now, we're heading in that way because God will pour out his wrath upon a people that are not loyal to him. Now, let me share with you what wrath is. We think it's a thunderbolt, lightning bolt. And it can be. But let me tell you what most likely it is. It's God saying, you don't want to have anything to do with me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And he takes his hand off of us. And he leaves us to go our own way. And when we're left to go our own way, independent and apart from God, we will self-destruct. You see, we need God. We need God in our lives. Do not forget the Lord. How do we start this? We need to reflect. We need to think about the goodness of God and all that God has done for us. Will you do that this week? Will you reflect on the goodness of God? We need to celebrate. We've had some celebration. Music was celebratory this morning. Man, this is great. I love coming to First Baptist Livingston. Y'all are a bunch of good folks. Love you and appreciate you. And he says, hey, he's blowing smoke. I may be, but I'm going to tell you what, I mean it. Y'all treat me with dignity and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And here it is. When God's people get together, it's time to celebrate. We need to praise God. Because if we're reflecting, we need to respond. Wow, God, you're God. Wow. We need to celebrate. Praise God. We need to give alms. More than an offering. But alms is something that we do to help other people around us. We need to do that as well. We need to be looking out beyond ourselves. And see, all of these things that we're doing have one thing in mind. Do you fear God enough to devote your life to him? It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's to be woven into the fabric of our life. We're to live for Jesus. Okay, here's another praise song that I learned. I think this is a GA praise song. Anybody from GAs? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. Yes, he's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Wow. We need to be thinking about the goodness of God in our lives every day. Are you making your vows and swearing to God? Lord, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence ever live. Are there other loyalties in your life that you're putting alongside God? Are you putting them between you and God? It may be time to take these off the shelf and throw them in the trash can, because there shall be no other God before us. This passage has individual ramifications. It speaks to my heart. Hey, while I'm pointing a finger out, remember this. How many fingers are pointing back at me? I got three coming back at me. We're all in this together. We struggle with this every day. This has individual ramifications as well as national ramifications. What will God do to an individual who turns his back on him? What will God do to a nation that turns its back on him? But what will God do to the nation who humbles their heart, who falls on their face and prays and seeks his face and turns from their wicked ways? What will he do? He will hear from heaven. He will forgive their sin, and he will heal their land. See, we need We need God in our lives. I know what it says. I keep those there just so I don't preach too long. It says, well, you've already done it. Maybe so. But let me ask you a question. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Have you forgotten God? Have you pushed him out of your life to where other things are more important? The Bible says if we draw near to him, he will draw near unto us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe it's time for us to get close to God once again and put foolishness, junk, and garbage out of our lives into the trash can and devote ourselves unto the Lord. Do not forget the Lord. There may be someone here who's never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've never trusted him. You know, but you know that you came this morning with something in mind. You're drawn here by the Spirit of God, and you were drawn here for one reason. Because there's something broken and messed up in your life, and you came looking for help. The help is not a pat on the back. The help is not a God bless and be filled. The help is this: that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess with our mouths Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in a right standing with God. And with the mouth confession is made, resulting in salvation. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you need Jesus in your life? Do you need a change in your life? It's time to make a change. It's time not to forget God. It's time to change and focus on the Lord. How would the Lord have you respond? The musicians are going to come up while I pick up my notes. Get a tow truck. You may need to get me up. The musicians are coming up, and what we're going to do, we're going to offer an invitation. You need to know that God is here today. There's a young lady in Sunday school. Praise God for Sunday school teachers. Young lady in Sunday school this morning gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. She's going to be coming to make it public this morning. But you know what? She doesn't need to come alone. There may be someone else that needs to do business with God. And we invite you to do business with God. At the altar of prayer, maybe you want to come and get some things right in your life. There's something about making that kind of oath to God. I'm changing the way that I think and the way that I live. There may be others here today that said, I need Jesus in my life. Pastor, how can I have Jesus in my life? We'll show you what you need to do from the Word of God on how to be saved. Will you come today? After we pray, we're going to stand together. We're going to sing. And that's your cue. It's time to act on the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you and pray that your Spirit will give us freedom today to act on your Word. Save the lost. Restore the backslidden. And Father, let your name be glorified in our lives. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Will you come right now?